Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of DashPass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now, or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile, and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks, no cash access, and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Little Bob here. It's America's 250th birthday, so shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. We've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving and those signature Bobapedic seats. So stop into Bob's Discount Furniture or shop online at mybobs.com, where America shops for furniture.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to lowes.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit lowes.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Hailing from parts unknown at a combined weight of 501 pounds, they are the Morning Rush Hour World Tag Team Champions. They have no fear, no back down, just a couple of gutsy guys. No one will take those MRH World Tag titles from these men. It's Taz, it's the Moose, illustrious champions, right here every day on CBS Sports Radio.
You know it's every day. Moose and Taz be paving the way. Talking about every sport. You know that they never missing a play. From the NBA to the NFL, the college games. They always bring in the knowledge. Nobody ever could try to go stop it. Only be talking the truth. Only be talking the truth. Hey, you know it's Taz and Moose. You know it's Taz and Moose. Hey.
Taz of the Moose with you here on this Wednesday morning. Happy hump day to one and all. It certainly is if you're a Washington fan, Nationals that is. Not so much if you're an Astros fan, as we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Who found a better way to mortgage so you can focus on making your new house home? Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. You've got Sam and Mike across the way, Bogish, with your updates to 9 a.m. Eastern time we go. Want to ask you about Scherzer here, Taz, because yes. I heard Jim Bowden. Right, former general manager of Major League Baseball, Cincinnati Reds, and he's been on our show before on one or two occasions.
I remember,
right?
Yeah.
Now does stuff on MLB Radio. I heard him yesterday before the game saying that he would be stunned if Scherzer would be available. This was before he was warming up in the bullpen last night and on the bench and everything. If he was available, because from his understanding, he had trouble down in when he was home. Had trouble getting out of bed, couldn't put his shirt on by himself.
Still the neck.
The neck, right. Yeah. This was before he was scratched from his game five start.
On Sunday, that
had,
was.
Right, had trouble getting out of bed, couldn't put the shirt on by himself. Mm. You know, his wife had, I believe he's married, wife, girlfriend, whatever.
I think it was his wife. I heard
right,
what you're about
wife,
to say. Yeah.
So basically, like, and he was saying that, you know, he'd be, similar injury that he had earlier on in the regular season that kept him out a month, said he'd be stunned. How exactly then, with a cortisone shot, I guess painkiller, is Scherzer then out there throwing off flat ground and warming up in the bullpen? If you're looking at, you know, 48 hours previous, he's basically having trouble just doing a daily routine.
It's possible. It really is possible. I've done it.
No, I know. Well, that's why I want to ask you.
It's possible. And there's a few different things. It's not necessarily, I can't say what the man is taking, what the doctor, you know, is prescribing to him. I would not think it's painkillers. I think most people would think it's painkillers. it's more muscle relaxers. So the problem he's got is going up. When he talked about spasms, that's bands. That's muscle. Bands of muscle. Muscles of bands in your neck from your traps, which for those that don't know what your traps are, that's the muscles, the short muscle that's the top of your shoulder. So from your shoulder deltoid, from your actual deltoid, your shoulder, the round part of your shoulder, to your neck, that gap, that's called a trapezoid, right? So what happens is the muscles from your neck shoot down here into your traps, into the back of your neck. And all those bands, muscles, they tighten up. So did he get a cortisone shot?
He did.
Okay. So I had one in my neck. So now, again, the cortisone, just for people to understand, it's not like years ago, the cortisone. Now it's synthetic cortisone. So the synthetic cortisone, it's less dangerous. So back in the day, in the 70s of the NFL, guys at halftime were getting cortisone shots and running like deers and then blowing their knee out in the end of the fourth quarter, or blowing their quad out, because it was a different type of medicine. It was much more potent.
Okay.
The synthetic cortisone is less taxing on the body, but yet gets the results. And it does take a few days for that cortisone to really take effect. So he probably got it on Saturday or probably Sunday, and it's probably starting to work on him a little bit. It takes a few days. That's number one. The other thing that he probably had done is a bunch of stim work. Like, so they put these little like electrode things on you on this machine, like a TENS machine. You ever have a TENS machine?
I've heard of that. Yeah.
It's like it's electric stim, and they put heat on it. So it loosens all the muscles, and he probably did, dude, a bunch of treatment for like 2 days solid, and to get him able, because he was warming up yesterday.
I saw
him, and he looked pretty good. I mean, warming up.
He did look good. Now, I guess my question is, then going through all of that, Taz, he's obviously not 100%. You can't go through all that.
I wouldn't say in a few days he's 100%, no.
Right. So then what exactly, I mean,
well,
what exactly should Nat fans then expect from Scherzer tonight? When he takes the mound, he was warming up in the bullpen last night. He's going to get the ball. Dave Martinez announced it before game six for a game seven, if there should be one. We know there's going to be one. We know Greinke's on the mound from the Astros. I guess my question is, going through all of that, right? And we know the cortisone shot, you know, all the work that he had just to get himself, his body.
Yeah, there's a lot.
There's a lot there.
There's
what could you possibly expect from him tonight? Max Scherzer,
no,
can you?
I think there could be a problem, because this is the thing that no one's going to talk about unless they've been through an injury like this, and I know I have, is the stress. The stress brings the tightness. And unless you're on like a super potent, like muscle relaxers they gave me years ago was something called Flexerol. Okay, and this stuff basically just, you didn't feel nothing.
Oh, really?
It was dangerous. Like, I took it twice, and then I gave it to my wife. I said, keep this away from me. She goes, what's the problem? I go, it works. Like, it's scary how much it works. It's addicting.
Like, you felt great.
I felt amazing.
Oh, okay.
And gotcha. I didn't go and wrestle, but I just felt amazing. This was after like 8 months of rehab.
Yeah,
I had
a
really bad injury. The thing I'm saying about stress that could happen, when he's on the hill and it's game seven and all this pressure, he's a pro. We understand that. He's not going to sweat and have butterflies, you know.
But
there's stress.
Right.
There's stress. And now it's different, as you know, when he's warming up in the pen compared to being on the hill.
Yeah.
And he's throwing hard.
Yeah.
And that torque in your body and how your shoulder and everything, all your trap, your shoulder, your neck, all those muscles in your upper griddle come into play. And, you know, it's stressful. This guy could lock up. I've locked up.
Yeah, well,
you know,
that's...
And it's scary. You don't know when it's coming. It just happens.
And I can, and that's why I want to ask you, Taz, because you've been through that kind of stuff. Yeah, you know, and I'm curious about that. I mean, I think for the Nats, you know, obviously they know more than anybody else in terms of what they can get from Scherzer.
Of course. It's
70 pitches, maybe it's 80 pitches. It's going to be a well-rested bullpen. It's not a good bullpen, but it's going to be well-rested nonetheless. You know, you're obviously not going to get 8 1/3 innings like you got from Strasburg in game six. I mean, I think for them, Taz, the emotional lift of seeing Scherzer on the mound, I think means a lot to that Nationals
team. Boost the confidence for sure. And the other thing I want to say, don't be shocked. They might not have him do it in between innings if he's getting massage therapy. Like, maybe they won't have him sitting in the dugout.
He's going into the clubhouse.
Yeah, and have a masseuse there, massage therapist. That's really good. We're breaking down that fat. It's like called fascia, that muscle. There's something called ART that breaks down. That's people who specialize in it. They can they rub out your shoulder or your leg or whatever your injury is, and it hurts when they do it, but it really loosens you up. And I wouldn't be shocked if they have a guy doing that or a woman doing that
in between innings.
Or definitely before the game.
Before the game.
You will know it, but I that wouldn't shock me because it just relieves the muscle, man. Yeah, but you're right. I mean, the confidence, I think, of the Nats will, you know, and if the Nationals fans, you know,
oh, no doubt.
When down in Houston, will be boosted once
And how much would it be? I mean, listen, we're not, you know, the Nationals still have to win another game on the road, and that would be every game decided, a road team winning every game in the series. The Astros are still home, and I know they've got Greinke on the mound, but still, we know it's not 100% Max Scherzer, but if the Nats should ever win this, Taz, with Scherzer, I mean, it will go down right there with Curt Schilling in the bloody sock and Kirk Gibson and this and that. If he ever is able to go out and give you kind of a masterful Game 7 kind of performance where he's dominant for five or six innings, Taz, I mean, you know, they'll be erecting a statue to Scherzer in Strasburg down there in Washington right quick. I mean, they will. It'll be amazing.
Yeah, I know. I mean, just...
they got to win. Watch the Astros win tonight, 8-1. There's no controversy. We spent 10 minutes on it tomorrow, and away we go.
I think that's might happen, to be honest with you. But, no, if this guy locks up, who do they go to? If this guy can't go an inning, he goes one inning, Scherzer, and he's having a problem.
I got to go to Corbin.
Right.
The problem with Corbin is he's a lefty, and it's a right-handed dominant lineup
yeah.
So that's the problem you have with Patrick Corbin, who we saw earlier in the series get lit up.
Yeah.
So, I would think you'd have to – I mean, I don't know exactly where else you're going to go – if you're Dave Martinez and the Washington Nationals. But I think for them, you know, to get to a seventh game, Taz, I think they saved a little face. You know what I mean? I think to be up 2-0 in this series and then to lose all three games and then everyone saying this series is over, to win game six the way that they did, you want to win it. I'm not saying everything else is gravy. When you were this close, if you're Ryan Zimmerman, you're 15 years in, you want to win a World Series.
Sure.
But I think for everybody outside that organization, I think they're playing with kind of house money tonight. They're not going to have the pressure on them. Houston's home. You got Scherzer on the mound. You know he's not 100% healthy. I think the fact that they battled back and won Game 6 last night, I think saved them a little bit in terms of the expectations for Game 7 tonight.
And that controversial play that we talked a lot about here today and that everybody else is talking about, that was a big deal for them. Even, you know, of course, Rendon hits the home run after that. I got it. But because of their skipper, because of Martinez, after with this guy's health issues, that he was that passionate. And the way he went at that umpiring crew and how he was so aggressive and so intense about it, you know as well as me, Moose, that sparks those players.
Oh, no doubt.
That shows the passion that your leader has. It sounds corny, but it's true.
Well, to hammer that point home, Taz, what you just mentioned, I heard Ryan Zimmerman after the game and was asked that very question. He said, "We love Dave Martinez. He's always got our back."
That's it.
Whatever you want to say about him. But that hammers that point that you were just mentioning. He has the respect. Whatever you want to say about Martinez as a game tactician, the Washington Nationals, they love their manager.
And he loves them. You could tell. And, yeah, he wants to win. He's the manager. I get it. But he cares about those guys. Like, he cares about those players. I mean, this guy, I mean, coming off of, you know, his heart and all that jazz, I mean, thank God nothing happened while he was out there, but he was red. I've been around people mad, and I've been mad, and I've seen guys get pulled off by other guys in a fist fight a lot in my life. That guy was fixed to throw a punch.
I'm telling
you, man, he was pissed.
But I'll tell you, you know, and he gets run out of the game. But let's hear from Martinez, because this is the interesting thing from Martinez. He has a very healthy respect for the umpires, and even after last night and getting thrown out of the game, here's what he said in terms of the focus on the umpire in Game 6.
Look, I don't want to sit here and talk about me or the umpires. This is not about me or the umpires. This is about the Washington Nationals and those guys in the clubhouse coming to Game 6 and playing lights out, knowing that this could be it. And I'm super proud of them.
That's great.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, there's no other way to put it. I mean, that is great. He told his team after Game 5, he said, there will be a Game 7. We are going down to Houston, and we're going to win Game 6. And his team responded. And I think the messaging after the game from Dave Martinez, as you just heard, a little bit of a snippet of it, I think it's right on point. He's not throwing the umpires on the bus. He wants to under the bus. He wants to transition away from that as quickly as possible. He's not making it about himself, Taz. in today's day and age. He's not bringing the focus on him. He put the focus on the players and what they were able to accomplish on the baseball diamond. And you talk about why guys love playing for guys?
Yeah.
That's a reason why guys love playing for guys.
Absolutely.
What Dave Martinez just said after the game six last night.
Absolutely. Because he could have went on and on.
Yeah.
He could have went on and about that play. I mean, he could have went on and on and on and on about the call of this to that, the Holbrook, the whole nine yards. He didn't. He focused on the guys, on the team, what they did, that they won that game. And listen, I got to say, the other day I was out here with you, and I'm one of those guys that felt like, well, the swing, the momentum that the Nationals had, you know, when they won, you know, when they won two at Houston, and then they lost three in a row. After they lost the three in a row at home to the Astros, I came out here this week. I'm like, listen, forget about it. Their momentum's done.
Yeah.
Well, I was wrong because last night that could bring the momentum right back to them. Scherzer's able to stay on that hill tonight and pitch, and he's healthy enough, and his body, his neck, and his traps don't lock up.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, my nightmare could come through.
Right.
And every Mets fan nightmare. It's all about the Mets fans. That's what this is about. You understand, Moose?
Well, and
what this is all about.
Right. And I can only do so much for Washington sports. I can't save the Redskins.
No, you can't.
And I can't really do much with John Wall and the Wizards.
Kiefer Williams, by the way. You're
right. Right. They kept John Williams.
That's
but
not great.
I can't do much for John Wall and the Wizards.
Oh, yeah, the Wizards, yeah.
But for the Nats and the Capitals, I'm your lucky rabbits.
Yes, you actually are.
And that's it.
Definitely for the Caps. Yeah, definitely for those two teams.
If it wins,
for the Caps,
they,
for sure.
If they win tonight,
I think you got Ovechkin hats, T-shirts, sweatshirts. You got every merch, I think, that he might.
You know who thought it was a good call up the first baseline last night? Bryce Harper.
He's like, yes!
Holbrook made the right call. Pump him out!
Great ball!
Great call!
I forgot about Harper. Oh, man. He loved that call. Oh, my God, that's funny.
We'll mix a little football into the conversation. Taz mentioned it. Trent Williams staying in Washington, as is Jamal Adams with the New York Jets. But some other wheelings and dealings. Not a lot when the NFL trade deadline came and went yesterday at 4 o'clock Eastern time. We'll mix a little football into the conversation. We'll do that next. It's Taz and Moose on this Wednesday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
Give Taz and the Moose a call. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, NFL on CBS doubleheader as the Colts try to silence the Steelers in Pittsburgh, or Tennessee clashes with Carolina, followed by Rodgers and the Packers head out west to battle the Chargers. It all begins with JB and the guys on the NFL Today at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, only on CBS.
Well, as you know, Moose, because you're here during the breaks, Andrew owes me another thank you.
Still hang around during the breaks.
Hang around. Yes. I love it.
Yeah.
Andrew owes me yet another thank you.
You set him up with an HVAC guy.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, or AC guy. I never
My
heard
new
this
best
HVAC.
Friend.
You guys say HVAC. I don't know what that is. What's HVAC?
Isn't that heating and air conditioning?
Yeah, heating, oh, wow. Something, inside air terms. Conditioning. I don't know what the V is for.
I don't know what that is.
Vacuum.
Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah.
Venting?
I don't know.
Heating,
ventilation. Yeah, ventilation. Yeah.
Ventilation. I never, I
heating,
was just called AC guy.
Air, yeah, that's right.
So I said
or AC guy.
PDB. I set you up a PDB. He came to the house, right?
Yeah, I missed him. He came while I was here yesterday.
Okay. You had one convo with him, I believe.
Two. We're pen pals.
Yeah. Well, it's lengthy, right?
It
is. Gives you the whole detail of everything.
I know a lot about boilers, furnaces, A-coils, copper wiring, Freon. There's old Freon, new Freon.
Oh, yeah. He's passionate. The man knows his stuff. Look, when I send you a guy, it's not like Pete Guest sends guys to Moose's house. And then
what does that mean?
The attic falls apart.
Spins a wheel.
Yeah, yeah. It's like,
no, the guys, I got the Pete sent a guy.
It's a complete
Pete
game of chance.
I don't want
to. Pete Guest guy works at a deli making a ham and Swiss with mayo, then he runs to your house to do your attic. Give me a break.
The bacon, egg, and cheese with chili.
He's got guys working in
It'll
delis
set
in
you
Connecticut.
Straight if you had something too much to drink the night before.
I'm sending you legitimate AC guys.
Right.
But see, when now you said that Pete was not in your house yet, though, right?
He has not been inside the house yet, no.
People are like, what's all these Pete? There's a lot of Pete's.
A lot of Pete's.
So right. When
There's
he goes
Pete
in the
Pilotti,
house.
Pete B, the HVAC guy, and Pete Gass.
That's right. So when he goes in the house, Moose, pay attention to this part.
Okay, thank you.
When he goes in the house, Pete AC.
Yeah.
All right. I'm very confused myself. He will critique they will critique the climate of your home.
Oh, that's nice.
And they'll always be negative about it.
Yeah.
Like, he came to my house. He's like, well, he comes in and he goes, whoa. I know this guy for years, right? He comes in and he goes, whoa, like that. And he grabs his arms. I go, what happened? What's the matter? Goes, well, it's freezing in here. Now, mind you, this was last summer. It was August. It was 97 degrees, all humidity, off Jones Beach. And I'm like, bro, it's hot as you know what out there.
Right.
Yeah, you want that little cool in the house.
He goes, let me see what's going on. He runs over to the thermostat, right? My wife, we're comfortable. It's our house. He's like, oh, my God. You have this thing at 68. He starts putting it up.
Yeah.
To 72.
Yeah. I saw a thing last summer that, 74 is a good summertime temperature. It's a, like, it's that's enough of a contrast from outside to inside. Get out
this
of
is
here.
Unhealthy. You're living unhealthy. Tells my wife. She goes, all right. Good to
why
see
are you,
Pete.
Living unhealthy?
He says it's
too
unhealthy.
Cold.
It's bad for your arteries, he said. Now I got Pete, the AC guy. He's breaking down medical terms for me and my body.
Right. Pete, the AC guy, is telling you that it's too cool in the house as he's eating a salami and provolone sandwich.
With roasted peppers on it.
With roasted peppers. And loading up on the mayonnaise.
Double gluten bread.
Right.
On a hoagie. With a 2-liter bottle of Coke.
Yeah, right. Diet Coke. Like, hey, he's one of those guys.
It's really not good for your joints. You got to turn the heat up. By the way, I'm a napkin. Bro. Wipe the mayo off my chin.
Light a cigar.
That's a joke. That's how he is, too. Like, oh, my God. I'm like, this is, he's breaking down, like, the. So when he's going to tell you about your climate, if it's either too warm, too cold, it's never just right.
Well, he's already done it because he was asking me what my current heating AC setup was.
See, I told you, he's obsessed.
So when I'm describing, because all my stuff is in the basement. Yeah. And he's like, you know, normally the central air would be in the ceiling, in the attic, because cold air is heavier than hot air, so it sinks. So you got to force your air up. It's like, so is it warmer on the top floor of your house in the summer than the bottom? And then is it the reverse in the winter because heat rises and
you
must have vaulted ceilings, high ceilings. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, because I don't have an attic. Right. How do you not have an attic? Well, I have a split ranch and my ceiling.
He will make you feel like your home sucks. Basically.
Yeah.
That's what he does.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Great guy.
Sounds great. Yeah. I'm glad he's going to fix it.
Just have him fix it. Taz is going to want blow by blow. Once work begins, we are allowed into the home, prepare the text messages.
Yeah.
I do. I need to know.
He's going to put a tracking device on the HVAC.
He's a pain in the ass, but he knows his stuff.
Right.
That's all he knows. Like,
he really does. And he's not going to rip you off. He's not going to rip you off.
Yeah, what's not good for me is he's a lot of, ooh. Like,
he does that.
That's not the ideal system.
That's
that's old. And it's like, dude, you're killing me. Yeah. Like, I'm already assuming my house will just crumble upon itself at some point.
And he'll be like, hold on, I'll tell you what's going on in a minute. And he does that. Okay.
Yeah.
And he's like, get out of that.
And then he grabs like...
Everybody run!
And then then he always grabs out of his pocket. I don't know how it even fits. This giant voltmeter thing. He's like, let me check it. And he puts it on like the unit. Like these two things with a big plastic gun.
Yeah.
And he's like hitting the buttons and numbers. He goes, oh, that's high. I'm like, what is he talking? I'm standing there like panicking. Like,
how did you find this guy?
Well, his son, you played football and baseball together.
Okay.
Yeah, he's from my town.
Oh, so he's from
town. They played little league since
his son still plays baseball, right?
His son plays at college. Yeah, he goes to school out east. Yeah, plays. Yeah, his son still played. My son
learned
left
that yesterday,
baseball.
Too.
Yeah. His son's good baseball player. Good infielder. Good
how
player.
How long were you on the phone with him for?
Well, there was a 5-minute pause while his son called him. So probably like 20 minutes. It was the length of a Mikey B podcast.
It was a 20-minute phone call. Look at you.
It's an hour.
Ah, man.
Excuse me. Someone said podcast, natural segue. Later today on the Taz Show, my podcast.
Yeah.
Award-winning.
Award-winning.
I have an award-winning guest, someone named Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Nice.
Stone Cold Steve Austin?
Yes,
my friend Steve Austin will be on. Yes, he's been on my show before. I've been on his, and he called me. He curses a lot, Steve. He curses a lot. Texas Jones, you know, very, like the way you see him is the way he is, but just more cursing.
And how long are you guys going to go for today?
We'll probably talk. We'll say let's do 30 minutes, but we'll go a good hour and a half.
Nice.
We'll probably talk about everything except wrestling.
So you'll open with Trey Turner and Sam Holbrook from last night. Probably.
We might. He's a big baseball fan, so we might. He's from Texas, so he's. I don't know if he's a Texans fan or if he's a Nationals, but I know he's a baseball fan. Because we did talk on the phone offline yesterday about the World Series before the game happened. So
when will that be out, Tez?
Oh, today. Yeah, I don't play games. You know, my team drops it right away. The afternoon drive, Jones, East Coast.
There
you
go.
So that's when it's going to happen.
No, Taz Show, make sure to download it. Steve Austin will be Taz's special guest.
Some podcasts, Moose, they record, and they don't drop a show for like 3 days.
Silly.
Mike B.
Here we go. Basketball drives. We haven't gone 20 minutes without talking about it.
Here we go. Sorry, Moose.
Let's go, Bogus.
You
let's
got it, Moose.
Update.
Here's your report. It is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. This year, Progressive celebrates 7 years and over 700 cars given to veterans, giving thanks by providing independence to those who protect it. Learn more at keystoprogress.com. A lot happened in Game 6 in Houston last night, but this, the most important.
Here's the kick of the pitch, swing and a high fly ball to the infield. For the second baseman, Cabrera, backing up out of the outfield grass, he waits, he makes the catch. And a World Series Game 6 winning Curly W is in the books. The World Series is tied at 3 victories apiece.
And now my mic's on. The Fall Classic, not yet won, because, again, the road team won. The Nationals 7, the Astros 2, so we get a Game 7 in Texas tonight. But a lot went into that 7-2 final score. A run in their first at-bat against Justin Verlander. The Astros that answered with 2 off Steven Strasburg in the bottom of the first, then homers from Adam Eaton and Juan Soto in the 5th for a 3-2 Washington lead. And then the top of the 7th, Trey Turner called out for interfering with first baseman Yuli Gurriel, trying to catch a throw from pitcher Brad Peacock. After a long check with officials in New York, the call stood. Yan Gomes went back to first instead of second and third with nobody out. But then Anthony Rendon came to the rescue, a 2-run homer, then a 2-run double in the 9th after his RBI single way back in the 1st. So 5 RBI for Rendon, while Strasburg settled down and worked into the 9th, impressing his third baseman.
Oh, man, super impressed by him, but not shocked, you know, to say the least. I've been watching him for a long time now, and he's had plenty of games like that. I think it's just been heightened since he's doing it in the postseason now, especially in the run that we're on.
So not only is the road team 6-for-6 in this series, the road team has won the last 3 Game 7s in the World Series, including these Astros at Dodger Stadium 2 years ago. It is Zach Greinke and the now healthy Max Scherzer tonight. First pitch is shortly after 7 Central. Luka Doncic hit just 3 shots last night in Denver. The last one was pretty important.
To the right corner to Finney Smith. He'll drive and kick it back out to Doncic. Doncic against Harris with 6 to shoot. He'll try to drive. Got to the rim. Reversing and scoring! And a timeout by Michael Malone.
Chuck Cooperstein on Mavs Radio. Those the final points in a 109-106 Mavs win in Denver. Doncic had just 12 points, 3 of 12 shooting. The Lakers smacked the Grizzlies 120-101. Anthony Davis posting 40 points and 20 rebounds. It's the 4th 40-20 game of his career. And the Heat down the Hawks 112-97. Trae Young sprained an ankle in the second quarter and did not return. The Pittsburgh Penguins routed the Flyers 7-1, a goal and 2 assists for Sidney Crosby. The Ducks down the Jets 7-4. The Rangers topped the Lightning 4-1. And regular season champs LAFC upset in the MLS Western Conference final, a 3-1 loss at home to the Seattle Sounders. They play either Atlanta United or Toronto FC next Sunday.
Not a good name, by the way, Sounders. I've heard them the name. I don't follow this much, but I'm not a fan of that.
Well, I think they're on the Sounders? I know the water Puget Sound, right?
I know the water. Please, you're going to talk. I
great environment, though.
No, I know that, but the name Sounders kind of stinks.
Yeah.
Right?
But they play at the Link. Whatever it's called in Seattle, Century Link Field, right?
Is that what
Safe
call
Link Field, or it's called, and they get like 20,000 people.
Yeah, they get a lot.
Oh no,
do
I'm
they
not
do
down
the
that
walk?
That's a good question.
I think they do that walk right before a game. Do they do that whole thing?
I don't know, Sam.
Yeah,
knows?
Sammy, the fans do the walk, right?
Pete, yeah, the fans. This. The fans will march into the stadium. They do it in Seattle's one of the ones where it's best environment in the MLS.
Yeah, they then originated that thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the MLS. I mean, it's from Europe.
No, right. I'm talking about the MLS.
I'm talking about the name of the team,
yeah,
guys.
Yeah.
Okay?
We know.
No, I understand.
We're just showing our soccer knowledge.
I know.
They look good last
Sam's
time.
Sam's showing his soccer knowledge. That's what's happening.
Excuse me.
Yeah, it would look good. The Sounders?
Yeah, they did. They beat the best team in the league last night, as Bogers told us.
Congratulations.
You're locked into MLS.
Can't wait for tonight. Big one tonight. Unfortunately, up against Game 7. What are you going to watch?
That's a problem. Unfortunately.
Did it?
Yeah.
They called the Seattle Sounders.
The Seattle Sounders.
That's not a good name.
Real Salt Lake remains my favorite MLS name.
Oh, what do we got going on here? All right. Yeah,
all right, back to you guys.
All right, thank you, Andrew. Right. Well done. Yes, Real Salt Lake.
Good seeing you, buddy. Take care. He just walked out, ladies and gentlemen. Andrew. Someone is up there. He storms out.
NFL trade deadline came and went yesterday, and not a lot. I mean, that went down before the deadline, if anything at all, Taz. Trent Williams is now reported back to the Washington Redskins. He did not get moved to the Cleveland Browns. The Redskins wanted a first-round draft choice. John Dorsey and the Browns would not give that up. There was kind of a staring match, and the Skins did not blink as Williams does go back to Washington after sitting out the entirety of the season up until this point as we're approaching week 9, which gets going tomorrow night. There was a lot of rumblings and rumors about the Jets, about Le'Veon Bell earlier in the day on Tuesday, that maybe the Kansas City Chiefs were going to bring Le'Veon Bell aboard. They reportedly put together a package to try and get the former Steeler and Jets star running back. That did not go down. Then there was all the rampant rumors about Jamal Adams maybe becoming a Dallas Cowboy. The reports that the Cowboys offered a first-round draft choice and 2 second-round draft choices to the Jets for Jamal Adams, you know, their second-team all-pro safety a year ago. And then you get the fallout from that. Deals were not done. Robbie Anderson was another guy on the trade market for the Jets. The Green Bay Packers were trying to get him. They offered a 4. The Jets were looking for a 2. Robbie Anderson remains in New York with the Jets. So you look around the league, not a lot went down. You had some deals, and obviously more deals have been done in the National Football League in recent years than have been done really in the last 15, 20 years in recent memory. And that's great. That's good for the league because it makes yesterday kind of a date you circle on the calendar if you're an NFL fan, whenever the trade deadline does roll along. But there's also, you know, the fallout, right? Yeah. And in New York for the Jets, there's a fallout. Not with Le'Veon Bell, who's hopping on Twitter, who's been really a model Jet.
He has been.
He got paid. He's been a model Jet, and he's hopping on Twitter yesterday saying, telling Jet fans, stick with us. I promise you we're going to turn it around.
That's cool.
You know, Robbie Anderson is, sending out tweets of movie clips, is celebrating the fact that he's still a Jet. And then you get to Jamal Adams, Taz, where there were reports earlier in the day with Adams and the Jets that he requested a trade, that he wanted to go back home to Texas, and that's why the Cowboys were a perfect fit. Then after the trade deadline comes and goes, he hops on Twitter and says, I never requested a trade. Mm. In fact, he had a meeting with Gase and Joe Douglas, the Jets general manager, and said that he wanted to remain a Jet, and then found out that Joe Douglas was having conversations, or as he said, shopping him around the National Football League, which Douglas denies.
Well, who knows, right? And no one's going to know the truth unless you're one of those men, right? So I found it interesting, too, and a good attempt, but it didn't work for the Browns. So they tried to get either Nate Solder from New York or Trent Williams from the Boston Redskins to make that offensive line better for all those offensive weapons and Baker Mayfield they have, but it didn't work. You know, it didn't work. So that would have been something, Trent Williams, if he went to the Browns. That would have been something.
It would have been. But let me ask you this. Is there a fallout in New York with the Jets?
Mm.
I mean, if you're Joe Douglas and you're telling one thing and the player's saying another, and there seems to be an issue, I guess, with Adams and Jet management down in Florham Park. I mean, if you are the Jets and you're trying to win, why would you get rid of Jamal Adams?
I don't know the answer to that, and I agree. I mean, I'm a fan. I think the guy's great. I don't know why you would try to do that. But I also think that these guys are all, you know, Douglas and these guys, they're trying to save face, right? So they're not going to say, it's like, no, that didn't happen. That's not, you know, they're trying to make moves. Why to make a move to get rid of Jamal Adams makes no sense. That makes no sense. He's one of the better D-backs in the game.
Well, there's no doubt he's one of the better safeties. And then are we getting into a semantic argument where you say, okay, if I have a great player on my team, say you're general manager X, and you have a player that you look at as being a foundational piece of your team, a non-quarterback, a left tackle, a corner,
tight
safety,
end,
whatever. You know, if someone calls and you have no interest in trading that player, would you even then have that conversation with said other general manager about player? Or would you basically say, that player's not on the table, there's nothing you can really offer me to get said player?
I think you listen. I think it's bad business. It doesn't cost you anything to listen if it's confidential. If it's confidential, and these conversations are usually supposed to be confidential, it doesn't cost you anything to listen. So that's what good businessmen and women do.
You would
do.
Have that conversation. Even say if someone calls up about the Chiefs, about Patrick Mahomes, you would have the conversation?
It's just a conversation. Yes, I would.
I think there are guys that are untouchable.
All right.
I mean, I look at guys as being untouchable. I mean, now, I'm not telling you Jamal Adams is that guy, but I don't I don't really know what another team could ask me if and offer me for Patrick Mahomes. You know what I mean? To have that kind of conversation. Now, that's the extreme. I understand that. I guess my point being is that, are we getting into a semantic debate when you have this rift now between Douglas and Adams about whether he's being shopped around the league or whether Joe Douglas was simply fielding calls from other teams when they, you know, is it one, if you're Joe Douglas and you did not want to trade Jamal Adams, are you then, I guess, and you would entertain those calls when the Dallas Cowboys come calling and ask you about Jamal Adams?
Right, but Moose, right, and I think you hit it there for a second. I think Douglas was just fielding calls where people were calling him about Adams.
Yeah.
I don't think, to answer your question, I don't think that Douglas was going out saying, hey, Dallas Cowboys, what do you think, man? If we give you guys Jamal Adams, what can you give us? How many number ones can you give us in the next couple of years? Or what would you, you know, I don't think Douglas did that. I think people were calling, hey, what's the deal? You know, they're looking at the Jets like, you guys are not a good team. They're saying to themselves, let's call the Jets. They're not doing well right now. They ain't going anywhere right now. Maybe they want to make a move. They got a guy like Adams we'd love to have. You know, they just moved Williams to the Giants. You know what I mean? I'm just saying. So I don't think Douglas reached. What do you think? You think Douglas reached out?
I don't know. I think there's probably a little bit of truth to both ways. I think he probably got a lot of people calling based on what you said, Taz, but I also think probably he might have made a call or two. But the question is, do you think, you know, Jamal Adams is long for the Jets? Do you look at Jamal Adams and say, I think he is going to be, you know, I'm getting a sense that Jamal Adams is not going to be long for that franchise.
Mm.
Are you getting that sense a little bit? There's been people that believe that he doesn't want to be there, maybe wants to go back home to Texas, the Cowboys. Those rumors have been rampant for a couple weeks. And now you have this story that comes out yesterday. Do you think the mending of the fences needs to happen right quick here for Jamal Adams and the Jets, where his season is completely lost?
Yeah, I don't think he's long for the Jets either. But because I thought I thought, look, when Jamal Adams was all that stuff what happened with him with the Jaguars. Not Jamal. I'm going to say Jalen Ramsey. I'm sorry, Jalen Ramsey, and he ends up with the Rams. I didn't expect that to happen. We understood all that stuff was going on. I kept saying, hey, you know what? They're going to work this out. The Jags are going to work this out. With Ramsey, he's not going anywhere. None of these players are – everyone's able to be moved. I mean, that's just the way it goes. So I don't – to answer your question, I don't think Adams is long for the Jets.
And you brought up the offensive tackle position. I wouldn't have done it for Nate Solder, but if I'm the Cleveland Browns, why wouldn't you give up a first-round pick for Trent Williams?
I mean, I would.
Why wouldn't you give up a guy that's – clearly, he's got, you know, 4 or 5 very good years left. You need an offensive left tackle. He's a premier left tackle. He's a 7-time Pro Bowler. If you're John Dorsey, I get trying to get a guy at your price. The offensive line's been an issue this year, Taz. You want to try and run and establish the run. Why would you not go get one of the best left tackles? The likes of Trent Williams don't become available all that often. Why would you not give a first-round pick for Trent Williams?
No, I know. I
would have given that up if I were Dorsey.
Yeah. Absolutely. That guy's the real deal. I mean, and so now, I heard he showed up yesterday, though, right? So now, but that doesn't mean he's going to play.
Made his triumphant return.
But that doesn't mean he's going to play. He could, you know, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's in shape. Yeah, I mean.
Well, you know what I'm saying? He could be, maybe he don't want to play. He could be like, you know, the Ramsey thing with the back, you know?
Oh, right. He could show up, right. He could show up with a back in. Yeah, he could. That's possible.
You know what I mean?
Anything's possible. You're right. He could do that.
You're a Redskin fan. You think he's just, you know, the whole, you know, you think he's just going to show up now? Like, all right, you know what? Let's go. Here we go. I'm in now.
I think it might take him a while to get back in that lineup. Do I think he's going to be in the lineup taking on the Bills this Sunday? I'd be surprised. I mean, but he's maybe he's kept himself in great shape. Maybe he has.
No,
I don't know.
No, you're missing my point. Dude, I don't think he wants to play for them. Like, I don't is it something with his deal that he had to show up or something?
Well,
with...
he doesn't want to have a completely lost season. I'm sure he's getting paid a lot of money.
I mean, yeah, so I'm sure.
I don't think you can do that. Do you think you can do that? You think you can show up and then claim you're hurt and sit on the...
Ramsey do it.
I know that, but we killed him for that. That's not right. You think?
No, I agree with you.
You think
not
Trent
right.
Williams is going to do that again?
I don't know him personally, but I'm strongly assuming. Look. Has he played a snap yet?
No, and he still hates the medical staff.
So rhetorical question. What change? You know what I mean? What change?
Money.
Right, exactly. Right. So what changed out of trade deadline? Now he shows up.
He's probably hopefully he was going to get moved, right. And then all of a sudden you have the line here that he does not get moved. The trade deadline comes and goes. Understands he's losing the amount of money losing. It's time to report back to work.
You got to go to work.
But now, I hope if you report back to work, even though you hate the team, Taz, I think you're there to do your job. Now Ramsey didn't do it. Admit, listen, it could be a Pollyanna view, a very naive view. Pollyanna. I get that, but I will say this: I would think that if I'm showing up to get paid and work, I'm going to work. If I'm Trent Williams,
there's a report from NBC in DC. One of the reporters says sources say he has no intentions of playing. He showed up, but no intentions.
Well, just for the record, I didn't write that story.
Well, then how do you pay him?
I don't know the answer to that.
Well, then how do you pay him?
If his, like he said, he pulls a Ramsey and he's not feeling good.
You can't do that. You can't. If I'm the Washington Redskins, I'd file a grievance.
But listen, you're right. You can't do that. You shouldn't do that. But
I mean, that's
one player, we saw Ramsey do it and it worked out for him.
No, but he actually played some games before he went out with the back injury.
And then there was the big problem, the big fight with Marone. We know the whole thing, right? I'm just saying, this guy, Williams, he's not playing, dude. He showed up because of the money.
Taz, you might be right, but I would never pay him. If I'm the Washington Redskins, what am I paying him for?
I don't disagree with you.
Then don't show up. Stay home.
But hold on. He might have language in there that if he's there, that they might have to pay him. They can't. It's tough to prove that he's lying if he says he has a back or migraine headaches or something like that.
There's a report saying he has no intention of playing.
Before I knew about the report, I was telling that.
I understand. No. The point being, though, Taz, is that is something that's highly debatable. I mean, you could have a conversation. If I'm the Washington Redskins, I'm a fan. I hate the ownership, but if I'm the Redskins, I'd never pay Trent Williams a dime. Then that's baloney. That's nonsense. That's BS.
Well, now you
then don't like, show up.
Well, I
don't care what the language is. You have to be there. He's not going out there. He's not working out the cap. He's not a capologist.
These guys
don't. It's a left tackle for the Redskins.
A lot of these guys look at it like it's them against management. It's them against ownership. Ownership uses them, so they're going to use ownership. They want to get paid. They know they all have great lawyers and great agents and great representation. So they know the do's and don'ts of their language in the contract, and they're going to protect their asses, and that's what they're doing. And a part of me agrees, I understand, but, watch, just because you to get moved, now you show up. It just seems a little funky to me, a little fugazi. He just shows up now, right or wrong.
I don't disagree.
All of a sudden, he's Mr. Washington Redskin now? All of a sudden,
I don't buy. I don't buy that at all. I don't buy that at all, but I would rather have just stayed away, and I was defending him. I wouldn't trust the Redskins' medical staff either.
Yeah, I know. This whole marriage with Williams and the Redskins, it's just got to go away. I mean, they couldn't. I mean, the Browns had a lot of interest. I guess maybe you're right. Maybe Dorsey didn't want to give up a number one or something like that. I guess that's what the case was. You know what I mean? But if you're Trent Williams, you're showing up to a 1-7 football team. Let's go. I'm ready to play, guys. Let's take on those Bills who are coming off a home loss to the Eagles that are willing to whoop someone's ass.
And listen, whatever the motivation is, it's not that, Taz, but you cannot then show up and say, oh, I'm hurt.
Watch him have some sort of an injury.
I'm not saying you're wrong.
I'm telling you.
I'm not saying that won't happen, Taz. That's nonsense.
I know.
If I was the Red Sox, I wouldn't pay him a dime. I'd say, go on your merry way. Get out of here. Go back home. I'm not paying you. Taz and Moose on this Wednesday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, as we sit here on this Wednesday morning, it is Taz and the Moose with you, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. That is your number to call. So you look at the National Football League, not a lot at the trade deadline, Taz. Yesterday, a lot of rumors, but really not a lot of substance to those rumors about names being bandied about, teams trying to improve themselves. The one thing you saw is that you're going to get a quarterback change in Cincinnati.
Yes, which, I mean, those poor people. I mean, those Steph fan base, they have just been, they need a whole revamp. I mean, they're 0-8, and I don't see any wins coming for them anytime soon. And can you blame them for making a move? I mean, if you're in the position that we're in, Andy Dalton, what's going on?
Ryan Finley.
Ryan Finley.
In a quarterback, the Bengals are 0-8. Zach Taylor, and let's hear from Taylor yesterday. We'll go cuts 10 and 11 there, Sammy. Taylor, I'm benching Dalton.
Very hard. Andy and I have had a lot of conversations over the last couple of weeks, not about this, but just trying to make this offense get going and this team get going. And he's put his heart and soul into getting this thing right. The hard thing now is when you're 0-8 and you make a quarterback switch, people tend to look at the quarterback and say he was the problem, and that's the furthest thing from the truth. Well, it's the bye week, and so now you get a chance. If you're going to make that decision, you give Ryan a little bit more time to grasp it and get ready for the next opponent.
And you can understand it. He's due to make $17.7 million next year. They're not going to pay him if he's on the roster. That's Dalton, that is. It's not completely Dalton's fault. The offensive line is terrible. He's had some success in the National Football League. But, Taz, for the Cincinnati Bengals right now, they're in the information gathering business, and they've got to figure out whether Ryan Finley can play in this league before they get into the offseason and next April's NFL draft.
Absolutely. He was a good quarterback coming out of North Carolina State. The rookies are saying, you got to see, what do they got to lose? They got to give him a shot.
Nothing.
It's a big kid, athletic kid. It's like 6'4", 6'5", big kid. They're not to lose. What are you going to do?
You're right. I think it's the right call. It's not a complete knock on Dalton. And I don't think Dalton's days in the National Football League are over, should his days in Cincinnati in all likelihood come to an end after this season. We come back, third and final hour. We have the three coming your way. Jeff Blum is going to join us as well. Talk a little Stros baseball as they get set to entertain the Nats in a big Game 7 of the World Series tonight. It's Taz and the Moose on a Wednesday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of DashPass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day.
And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier entirely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
From high school baseball to the men's NCAA College World Series to MLB and all the way to the National Baseball Hall of Fame, how will you make your mark in MLB The Show 26? Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.